This is the Own It Show, where we tell stories of how everyday people made ownership theirs to create extraordinary success.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Own It Show. I'm Justin.
And I'm Elise. Welcome to the show.
And as we all know, in entrepreneurship land, there's highs, there's lows, there's everything in between. And that mountain that we continue to climb seemingly is never ending, because guess what? It's not. And every time we hit a summit, it's a false summit. Every time we continue to keep going somewhere, there's another opportunity in which we have another problem that we have to solve. And so we brought on somebody who's taken life and completely flipped it on its head. And in doing that, has found amazing success and has been able to live in his flame and really be able to reach people in ways that I know many of you are trying to attain to. So Instagram followers of over 1 million, subscribers on YouTube of over 300,000, and just really reaching people at a mass scale. And so, Brian, I'm so excited to have you on the Own It Show and really allow people to see into your life and see into your success and how that road has been for you.
Well, thank you for having me, both of you. And where do you want to start, I guess, is my biggest question, because, you know, going to any business owner or entrepreneur, it's you want to start from inception, you know, birth all the way through childhood and the, you know, schooling, or you just want to jump into business?
No, I'd love to know the man behind the business. Like, what drove you to, we often talk again on this show of like pre-ownership, post-ownership, pre that fork in the road when Brian was up and coming, that entrepreneurship seemed to be so cool, like this this awesome word that you wanted to dive into. What was that? What was it that led you to that side of things?
So I'll fast forward through part of the childhood story. I grew up in a household filled with drug and alcohol abuse. And from that stemmed other abuse, but we'll just leave it at that. And that forced me to look at how I want to be and build my future. And in high school, I was very rebellion against the whole system. And I was in special ed because when I'd read stuff, I wouldn't retain it. I'd be so hyper-focused on making sure I pronounced the words correctly and absorbed it, or said the correct word, that I wouldn't absorb what was going on. And I remember freshman year, one of my special ed teachers in English class was like, "Hey, I'm teaching you guys to work for somebody else." And I stopped, I paused, I said, "What the fuck do you mean you're teaching me to work for somebody else? I want to build my own thing, or what if I take over the family business?" "Oh, that's not going to work. I'm teaching you to work for someone else." "Fuck you." Well, words I said landed me in the principal's office. I was like, "What? You're teaching me to work for somebody else. That's not how I'm programmed. We're calling your father." "Call my father. He's going to be on the same boat as me. He's not going to give a shit. He's going to tell you the exact same thing." "Well, what if I hand my son what I've built? He has to learn how to manage that, work with employees, delegate. You're teaching him how to be a robot." And that's when it really clicked in my head of the whole system that's still the same system is teaching you to be a robot and not work for yourselves. And that's why I find 99% of the universe out there is an employee. The 1% is really finding that drive. It's like you guys took the risk to start your podcast. Look, there's no guarantees that your podcast is going to hit. There's no guarantee my business is going to do great tomorrow unless I sit there and do the work. And it's just kind of crazy how society has taught a lot of us, hey, just go work for somebody, invest in your 401k, do the basics and live a simple life. And one of my mentors always said, every time I'd complain about something, is like, "You want a simple life? Go be a greeter at Walmart. You enjoy your fancy trips. You enjoy your nice stuff that you don't talk about. Yeah. Well, enjoy the hustle. Smell you later." And it's just one of those things that I've learned over the years. You have to be willing to put in the work. I don't care what coach you hire, what podcast you listen to. You yourself have to come at peace with, hey, I'm going to put in a bunch of blood, sweat, and tears for zero reward, hoping at the end of this, it all pays off. Because as you both know, there is no guarantees in entrepreneurship.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, it's interesting that you're bringing up this idea of what the world teaches us to be. They teach us how to think, right? For you, it was from a very young age in your school and your within your education. And, you know, at Own It, we have two different worlds. We have an outer energy world and an inner energy world. The outer energy world focuses on our physical habits and making those as strong as they can be so that our mindset and our inner energy world can explode and we can be the best entrepreneurs, business owners, CEOs, whatever it is, right? Mothers, fathers, spouses, partners, whatever it is, right? And within the inner energy side, there's something that we talk about, which is the difference between fear-based and conscious-based values. A fear-based value is living in alignment with what society tells you to be, right? A fear-based value is I need to go out and work this job that allows me to have this guaranteed income so that I don't have to take the risk. Whereas a conscious-based value, it sounds like you chose a different path from a very, very young age. Can you talk a little bit more about that? I know you said it's how you're hardwired, but talk to us about how you came to live and go against the flow and live much more in a conscious-based value mindset.
I touched on it very lightly, but growing up in the household I grew up in, I was forced to be independent as far as I can think back. And really, you know, even though I grew up well with, you know, every toy you ever wanted, a big house, all that fun stuff, I had no structure and I had to really look out for my own and really deal with certain things myself when I didn't have two parents that were there that actually helped build me a foundation. So even though you see all these alcohol bottles behind me, that's a representation of me that I'm stronger than that. I do not drink. I don't use drugs. My fix is adrenaline. So go fast, shooting guns, anything that I can put my life in harm's way, that's my fix. And that childhood has then pushed me into the life I live in business of, look, if you don't give it 110% and put your, you know, not your life on the line, but similar aspect of putting your balls on the line or your whole heart and your bank account on the line, then, hey, you're not in the right field. And you have to be willing to bet 100% on yourself. You can't be half in, half out. And that's just the mindset I've had since early on in childhood of, look, I need to look out for myself when the two people that are supposed to be looking out for me aren't. You know, they're around, but they're not looking out for what's best for me. And, you know, I had no rules growing up. And kind of crazy, someone with no rules still, you know, came out being successful and didn't end up in a bunch of shit.
What would you say was your biggest asset that you learned from that and being able to apply it to your day to day?
If you're not going to give 100%, don't show up.
And in terms of understanding, hey, 100%, what does that exist? What does that mean? How have you been able to figure out what you're willing to invest that 100% into?
So even though I've amassed a huge audience in social media, as you both know, that's a full-time job. I delegate 4 hours every Wednesday to film. And every day I delegate 30 minutes for social media. Outside of that, I don't touch social media. I don't care about social media. I treat it as a business. That 30 minutes, I give it my 100%. I focus on the plan that I need to put in action. Then I take it to the team. Any messages I need to address personally, I address, and on to the next project. And I delegate time slots for all of it. And I found for a while when I was doing the social media thing, I was wasting 5-6 hours a day on social media, not doing anything. It was just scrolling. It wasn't looking with brands or podcasts to work with. It was just me messing around, wasting time. And I really had to snap out of it and really make a conscious effort of, hey, social media is entertainment, unless we're treating this as a business, and we have to treat it as a business and treat it as any other business I run. You delegate X amount of time to get the projects done, and you delegate people to do the tasks that you need done.
Go ahead. That's a really good point, because I know, particularly as entrepreneurs, so often we think we have to do it all ourselves, right? But then once we realize we can delegate so much of it, our energy frees up to be able to focus on all these other things.
Yeah, and look, coming up with fresh content every week is a job in itself that doesn't require you physically doing anything. I'm banging my head against the wall trying to figure out, well, have we done this before? If we have, how can we tweak it? And who can we work with that week to film something? And some weeks I don't come up with any ideas, so we skip and move to the next week and just hope that that feeling comes to me because all the content's curated by me and I have to sit there and really figure out what I want to do that week.
I want to dive a little bit deeper into your process because it's really interesting what you just pointed out is sometimes it doesn't come to you, nope. Right? And you're diving into that week with nothing. And I think, again, as the majority of our listeners are entrepreneurs, and as an entrepreneur, social media and promoting yourself just comes with the territory. So what's some advice that you could give? I mean, I even want it for myself, right? I cannot stand those weeks where I walk into the week and I'm like, I'm so uninspired. I don't even know what to put out there. I'm not feeling it. And I know there's so many people who relate to that. What advice do you have to give somebody like me or another entrepreneur in that situation?
It's going to sound really simple and stupid, but walk away from everything and go do something you enjoy doing. You enjoy working out? Go work out for a couple hours. Go on a long bike ride, go on a long walk. For me, it's getting on my motorcycle, turning on my music and disappearing for 2 to 3 hours. And that's how I just clear my head of, okay, if I don't focus on what I'm doing while I'm riding the motorcycle, then I crash or someone hits me. So I'm giving that 100% to my hobby, which allows me to turn off my head and not think about everything else. Then I get to a nice lunch, sit there and brainstorm. And the idea usually comes along if I'm having a hard time struggling that week.
Yeah, so really what it sounds like is the combination of presence and trust. Be present in the moment, be able to give your 100% into something that you really enjoy and you're really passionate about, that then allows you to be creative, but also trusting in that process that that will happen. And I exactly. think that second piece, that trust, is what so many of us struggle with is, sure, I can go out and do that, but then I don't trust that the good idea is going to come along.
Correct. And my wife never understood me disappearing in Mexico for 10 days racing through the desert until I was part of a documentary. And she got to see behind the scenes because you can only explain it so much, but without seeing it and touching it, you don't really understand. And the movie finished, we went to dinner and she's like, I get it now. Like, I understand why you do that because there's no cell phone reception. You only get reception at night. You're not getting emails because you're using some crappy Wi-Fi that's maybe 5 megabits a second. So you're not responding to emails. And then you're in the truck planning, hey, I don't want to crash. So I need to really learn what I'm doing. And it, you know, same thing as the motorcycle riding. It's just a 10-day vacation, but it's a 10-day mental vacation for someone like me. And I'm not saying everyone go out and go racing, but you need to find something that if you go on a vacation, can you actually disconnect? Or are you on your phone surfing social media, putting more crap into your head? Are you watching the news? What are you putting in your body and what are you focusing on that vacation? And for me, I need to do stuff that really takes my mind off of everything and into a different realm. As crazy as that sounds for some people, you really need to learn to disconnect. Social media is
you and everybody else in the world, right?
Yeah. And a lot of people listening to this, social media is not real life. I don't post my real life on there. I post fun stuff I do, but I was at Super Bowl yesterday. I posted one photo. I enjoyed the moment. I didn't need to be on my phone recording the halftime show. I wanted to be present in the moment and really listen to the concert. And the only reason I went to Super Bowl was to see the halftime show. So why do I want to record it on my phone for everybody else to enjoy it and pay attention to that when I'm there for myself? My wife's like, oh, I want to record it. Go ahead. But I have my view and I'm going to focus on the moment. I don't care about recording it.
Yeah. You want to record it? I mean, even in movies, you see so many moments where people are watching what's in front of them in such a big present way through a little like couple inch screen on their phone.
And here's the crazy part.
How many times do you go back and watch it again?
When I record something, I usually go back and watch it several times, but here's the funny part about yesterday. Wasn't it televised? Wasn't it recorded everywhere?
Yep.
Go back and replay it if you really care that much and cut out clips that you want to share with your fans. Mm-hmm. And that's how I look at it of, look, I be in the moment, be present. If you're in a conversation, turn your phone upside down. Leave it on do not disturb. And, you know, be present and really listen and absorb. And look, I still have my faults. I'll be at dinner with my wife and I'll look at my phone and I'll get sidetracked or I'll end up on a phone call that turns into a personal phone call. And it's like, okay, I could have ended that 10 minutes ago and I'm taking time away from my newborn daughter and I really need to focus on what's at hand in front of me. So don't think I'm perfect by any means. I'm just letting all the followers listening to this know it's a constant evolving process that you always have to work on.
It's interesting that you say that because, again, kind of to Elise's point, the big thing that we talk about at Own It oftentimes is like this balance of inner and outer energy, this outer energy piece being what basically like takes your energy away. Like where, what's the energy out versus the energy in? Your business, your wife, your daughter, your social media, all of these things are energy out. They're you having to show up and give pieces of yourself versus when we ask, hey, what are you guys doing for energy in? What's replenishing you? The list is maybe one or two things. And it's like, it takes work to try to figure out what those things are. And for you, it sounds like you've really found that with understanding, hey, I need to give myself the freedom to step away. I need to be able to give myself time in no cell phone reception, doing things at high speeds, things that literally fuel you back up so that you can go and serve at a higher level.
Correct. And the crazy thing is, I don't know, recently I was doing 198 miles an hour on an airstrip and I felt at peace, like not thinking about anything. And my friends that were there were like, dude, I was so scared. I was like, dude, be in the moment and don't worry about the what ifs. The what ifs is what's going to kill you. Enjoy the moment, even though you're going almost 200 miles an hour. Enjoy it, be in it, and be present. Don't wander. And that's what a lot of people forget is when you're having a conversation with someone, they're always worried about the rebuttal. And it's like, wait, like listen and truly absorb it and then ask and let it process. And I'm the kind of person that'll have a conversation or have a meeting. And I'm like, all right, let me get back to you in 24 hours. The way I process it is a couple hours later, I start reviewing everything that was said and what decision I want to make. And I change my decision on certain things and I adjust it along the way till I'm happy with it. And then I re-present it. And so don't be so quick to jump on an opportunity, really think through it and really absorb what's going on and if you can make it work.
One of the really strong messages that I'm hearing from you loud and clear is find something you're passionate about, immerse yourself in it. And that is what allows you to be creative and the best version of yourself. Now, one of the things that I know I work with a lot of clients on and a lot of people ask me is, well, how do you find things that you're passionate about, right? For you, it's going 198 miles per hour on a motorcycle. How did you find that out about yourself? And how can other people find out what their passion is?
My thing for adrenaline started at like the age of 10. And as I made more money, the risk went up substantially. You know, at 10 years old, you're not doing 198 miles an hour, but you think 40 is like crazy fast. And as things progressed over the years, it just kept getting faster and faster, more dangerous. And it's really truly going back to your childhood and seeing what fulfills you. Doesn't matter how you grew up. I could give you guys horror stories, but we're not here for that today. And it's really finding those special moments then that made you happy and adjusting through the process to tweak it from an adult or a child to an adult to still keep you happy. Like obviously cartoons made us happy back when we were 5 years old. Okay, maybe it's a different show that makes you happy. Whatever it might be to allow you to disconnect, but everybody needs to also limit the Netflix and chill part of, you don't need to binge watch 9 episodes of any show. Like as a business owner or anyone who's trying to grow, yeah, okay, every couple of weeks you want to take a day off and do nothing, go for it. But that other times, look, I wake up 10 to 15 times a night and I still think about all that other stuff of, hey, we have this bill to pay tomorrow, or we have that project to finish, or you have this really big deadline coming up. And it's that constant work. I keep a notepad and a pen by my bed just in case I think of something during the middle of the night, I don't want to forget it.
You go back to your story of like the household that you grew up in and the childhood that you experienced. And now being a father of your own, how has that changed your perspective on how you show up day to day and the presence in which you not just exist as a businessman, but also and an entrepreneur, but also as a husband and father?
I think the only it's changed it. But the thing I say that really changed is you learn how valuable your time is. And when you allot time for something, you really have to stick to it, because now you're on a time clock. And you have, like, I had to budget this into my day. And my wife's like, hey, I have a nail appointment at 3 and you refuse to hire help. So your ass better be home, because you have to watch the baby while I'm at the nail salon, because you don't want the baby going to the nail salon, which I'm gladly sacrificing my day and planning around it, because that's the quality time with my daughter that I get one-on-one, and really delegating my time and staying focused, because now I don't have the time of, oh, I'm at the office now on a podcast. I can't go to the car shop. I can't go stop here and see my friends. It's really time management, which as any business owner, you need time management. You really need to stick to a schedule. And I've learned, someone sets a meeting, you're not, any meeting that lasts longer than an hour, you're just wasting time at that point. I start to daydream. I start surfing the internet. I start looking up random shit. And look, you need to be quick to the point and really say what you want to say. I don't sit around and waste words. And sometimes I'm in a new environment where I literally say nothing and I just absorb what's going on and really see and just kind of feel everything. And that's how I operate. And if I feel, hey, everybody's talking about nonsense, I'm not going to add in nonsense. I'm going to go on and do my thing. And I've cut a lot of people out of my life doing the same thing as well, just because you can't get back time, all the money in the world.
It's clear you're somebody who really knows yourself and who allows your intuition to drive you, right? Like you know what it is you're passionate about. You're highly connected to that. And I got a
but though.
Tell me.
I've made plenty of errors along the way of not trusting my intuition. And when you get that weird gut feeling, don't go against it. 10 for 10, I failed every time.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. And look, we all make mistakes. I've made multi-million dollar mistakes and I've lost who knows how much just over not trusting my gut and going the opposite direction or not doing enough due diligence before I got into a project. So make sure you do your homework before going into anything, big or small.
But in hindsight, your intuition was right. So, yeah, I mean, it's clear you're somebody who has such a strong sense of intuition, but again, you said it earlier, right? Your words, not mine. You're not perfect, right? Nope. You're continually learning. And as entrepreneurs, it's part of the game. We're continually leveling ourselves up. We're continually learning on how do we shift more towards our passion and live in alignment with what it is we're truly meant to be here for. And that's what we define as ownership. So I'm really curious to hear from you, Brian. What is your definition of ownership?
Put your money where your mouth is and back up what you say. Don't just say it with a bunch of blah, blah, blah. Hey, you're going to do something, you better fucking deliver on it or don't waste my time. And that's how I've amassed such a big following on social media is, look, I've worked with other influencers to get other things done. And we've really networked along the way. They have to do their part. You have to do your part. And the only reason the next influencer is going to work with you is because you did your part and they can see the proof. And if you're not showing the proof, then you're back at square one. And your word, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how much money is in your bank account. If your word means nothing, then I'm sorry. I'm not going to do it with you.
Ownership is your word. I love it. Because again, you're exactly right, is the character you have, the word in which you stand by is really all we have at the end of the day. And Brian, I love how connected you are to yourself and what you need in order to succeed and be at your best. Where can people find you? Where can people interact with you through the different channels in which you have?
All the social medias are the same. It's Brian Gold, PhD. And then if you guys want to shoot an email, it's support@BrianGoldPhD.
I love it. And guys, as you listen to this, just like we talked about on the show, it's so often we talk about what are you doing for energy in? What are you doing for energy out? How can you be present in the moment and live consciously versus what the majority of the world does is living subconsciously? And taking a lot of what Brian talked about in finding out what fuels you, finding out what gives you that level of energy back in. What do you do for self-care? And what we define self-care as is something you do for solely yourself, something you do for only you. And when you ask yourself that question and you have to pause and you have to think, maybe we should start to dive deeper into, hey, why can't I come up with something a little bit faster? Where should I be putting a lot of more of my time and energy so that I can show up as a greater version of myself to truly carry out that purpose that I was meant to? And so as we say, success is different. We have to be different and own your different. We'll see you next week.